Let's take our Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. I'm just going to review a couple of minutes before we move on, but what is the whole scope of this passage from the middle of chapter 10 to the latter part of chapter 12? What is the writer trying to prove to us in this whole section of this book? What's his main premise? All right, Christ the Superior is the overall topic of the whole book, but what is he particularly dealing with here in chapter 10, middle part through the end of chapter 12? Faith, and what about it? He's trying to help us see that faith is that which we need to exercise even when we can't see, and no matter what trials we are going through, that it's that which we need to exercise and believe the promises of God that will see us through any kind of problem or any kind of trial. And the writers here were all going through various trials, so much so that what did they want to do? Some of them were almost ready to turn back. They were ready to go back to Judaism. They almost had the idea that, listen, I when I signed up to be a Christian, I didn't know it was going to mean this. And now he's encouraging them that no matter what trials fall, no matter what problems arise, that faith will get you through the other side of the problem, because you need to claim the promises of God and keep on going. And then he gives us a whole chapter as an example of those who did that. But before he moves ahead into that chapter, at the beginning of chapter 11, he gives us a definition of faith. And definition of faith here is, now faith is a substance, or it has a foundation. Substance means that which is underneath, holding it up. And so we have the definition, a foundation is faith is that foundation of things you hope for. That gives you something to stand on while you're hoping for those things. The foundation is faith. And it's the proof or the evidence or the verdict of things not seen. It's the final verdict. Then he tells us in verse 2, that we have an exhibition of that faith by the elders who've gone on before us. They have shown us that kind of faith. And by it, they got what? A good testimony or good witness. A good report. And then when we come to verse 3, again, we are seeing that it tells us that faith is involving those things which are not seen, and that we walk not by faith, by sight, but by faith. And so we're to judge not what an outward appearance, but we understand that even though we can't see certain things, you know, we talk about reality in life, and a lot of people say, well, when it comes to spiritual things, get real. Well, you know what? Spiritual things are real. You don't have the reality of existence if you don't have the spiritual in your life. That's part of being real. And so we have this understanding. But then the question arises, where does this kind of faith, this faith that's described here in verses 1 through 3, where does that kind of faith come from? Where do you get that kind of faith? What's the source of that kind of faith? And the only answer to that, and there's one and only answer to that, it comes from God. That kind of faith comes from God. Somebody quote for me Ephesians 2:8. You know it. Somebody quote it real loud. I hear it. For by grace, You know, there's a lot of discussion sometimes as to what is being referred to as it's the gift of God, not of works. Well, they say, well, is it grace that's the gift of God? Is it faith that's the gift of God? Is it the salvation that's the gift of God? You know what the answer is? It's all of the above. Grace is a gift of God. Faith is a gift from God. And salvation is a gift from God. So when you say, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. As I studied the Greek there, I personally have concluded that what it's referring to mainly in that verse is back to the faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's the gift of God. And so where does faith come from? God. Faith comes from God. The language here is unmistakable. And we need to be thankful and thankfully receive both the faith and the grace and the gift of salvation, because they all have come from God. Now, you know this verse too. Romans 10:17. If I start it for you, you can repeat it. It says, so then faith cometh by, and hearing by the. All right, so we know that verse as well. But I want to point something out to you. You have two words by in that faith, in that word, don't you? But before we look at that part of it, I want to look at three key words out of that verse. As we go into this verse, it says, faith cometh. And the word cometh is a word that really is related to the word supplied. Faith is supplied by, it cometh by. But let's think of this whole passage. If you want to go back to Romans chapter 10 for just a moment, let's read starting in verse 13. Romans 10:13. And there it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so as we look at this passage, and we read through then to verse 17, we know that there's a manner in which that faith has come. And how has it come? What's the manner according to this verse? It cometh by hearing. All right, so that's the manner by which it cometh by hearing. That's why it's so important that we have people hear the word of God, because that's the source of their faith. And now when we have the second word here, it's hearing. The first one was cometh. That's the means. Then hearing. Now, you know what the word hearing here, there's different words for hearing in the Greek. This is not talking about hearing through the ear, the sense of hearing. And it's not talking about the act of hearing. You know, when your husband says, yes, I heard you, when he really didn't, you know. But the act, it's not the act of hearing. You know what it is? It's what you hear. It's the matter, the substance, the content of what you hear. Faith cometh by hearing a certain content. It's not just enough to hear any old thing. You have to hear a specific thing. And that's what this verse is saying. Faith cometh by hearing. But it's important what you're hearing. And the word indicates that it's a matter of what the substance of that hearing is. And you know, it's a word that is again related to Isaiah chapter 3, verse 15. It says, that which they had not been told shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. And what is it talking about? Truth about Christ, which they had not heard and they had not been told before. But now they're going to be told that. And so the hearing here is related to the content of hearing about Christ. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing about Christ. And the word in Habakkuk 3:2, it says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech. In other words, I have heard what you've said. I've heard the content of what you said. And Galatians 3 says, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Hearing of faith. Here we have faith cometh by hearing. In Galatians 3, it's hearing the by faith. And again, we see that it's necessary to see the means by which it came and to see the matter that was involved. It was truth and hearing about Christ. But then we have the word here. Now, we all know that the typical word for word in the Greek language is logos. But this is not logos. This is a different word. And this word means that it's a saying or what has been said, a whole compilation of words. It's not just a single word. It's a compilation of words. And so what this verse is saying here in Romans 10:17 is, so then faith cometh, that's the means, by hearing certain content, and hearing by the word of God, not just a word, but the entire compilation of the word of God, the grouping of words. And so when we look at this whole passage back in Hebrews 11, says through faith, what kind of faith? A faith that comes from God, and it's faith that has certain content, and it's faith that has a certain source, and that's the Word of God. I want to point out to you too in this little verse in Romans 10:17, you have the word by, B-Y, twice. And to us, in our English language, by means by. But in the Greek, these are two different words again. They're not the same word. They're two separate Greek words that have both been translated by here. And how are we to understand it? Well, the first by talks, it's a word from ek, means out of. So then put that meaning in there. So then faith cometh out of hearing. Out of hearing. And then the second by is a word dia, and it means through, or the cause has been, the instrumentality has been. And so faith cometh out of hearing, and hearing by the instrument of the Word of God. So that's the kind of faith that Hebrews 11 is talking about when we come to through faith, that kind of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things, that kind of faith, a faith that's built upon what we hear from the Word of God. Back at Christmas, you see little blocks of wood in some stores, and it's just one word on the block of wood. It says, believe. What? Believe in Santa Claus? Believe it? You know, you're left to believe anything you want. Well, it's the same thing when people say, well, just have faith. No, faith always has to have a foundation, and faith always has to have a cause, and faith always has to have an instrument, and faith has to have an object, or it's not faith. And so we now have a faith that's going to take us through trials and troubles, a faith that's going to land us on the other side to claim God's promises. And that's the kind of faith we're going to see demonstrated as we come to chapter 11 of this book. It's the faith that saves. That kind of faith comes from God. And he is the first great cause of faith. Now, I know that some might struggle with the whole doctrine of election. But faith, regardless of who has it, it still comes from God. God is the source of our salvation and our faith today. Now, when we start to go through these people, let's go to chapter 11 of Hebrews again. And in just a short while, I'm going to begin examining each one of these individuals one at a time here, who are examples of faith. But as you look down through, and you have the first person in verse 4 is the name who? Abel. Who's mentioned in verse 5? Enoch. Who's mentioned in verse 7? What do you notice about Abel, Enoch, and Noah? Anything jump out to you about these three men? Yes? Pardon me? They're before Abraham. We come to Abraham a little bit later. The truth is, as we start out, it doesn't hold consistent through the whole book, but when we start out by names, these are all chronologically given to us. Was there anybody mentioned who should have been mentioned ahead of Abel chronologically? Now, I mean, I know there are other people chronologically ahead of Abel, Adam and Eve and so forth, but he's giving us unique examples of faith, and he's giving them to us chronologically. So we have Enoch first, chronologically. Excuse me, Abel first, then Enoch, then Noah, and then who's the next one? Abraham. And so we go chronologically. Is that just happenstance that the writer thought, well, I'll just start going through chronologically? No, because I believe in the authority and the inspiration of Scripture, this is all in here by design. God designed this to be chronological, but also, as we look at this, we will find, and I'm just kind of introducing it to you today, we will find that they are also experientially in the right order here too, of what kind of experience you ought to have with God. And I thought it was interesting. I think I still have it up here. Oh, man, I have had problems today keeping that with me. My constitution that I had earlier today, this morning. It's laying on my desk. But on the front of our constitution, it has three bold words. On the front of our constitution, it has our worship, our walk, and our witness. Guess what? That is the right order. Our worship, we have to have the right kind of relationship with God in worship that then affects our walk. And until we learn to walk the walk, our witness will not have any effect. Worship always precedes walk, and walk always precedes witness. There is an order. Guess what we have here? As we will study these three men, we will find, what did Abel do by faith? Worshipped. He offered up an excellent sacrifice. He worshipped. What did Enoch do by faith? Walked with God. What did Noah do by faith? He witnessed for God. And they all three are in chronological order. And they all three are in experiential order as we ought to experience them in our lives. The first thing we ought to learn to do is how to worship God, and to do that by faith through Jesus Christ. And the second thing is we need to know how to walk with. You know what? happens a lot of times. We expect people to walk like a Christian when they're still not a Christian. We get the walk before the worship. That's why we have so much confusion about works salvation today. They try to walk the walk before they even have the Christ as a Savior. And so it's worship, walk, witness. And we got it right on the front of our Constitution. We got it right because God gave it to us here in His Word. And so this is not just a happenstance of names that the author just kind of picked out of the air and said, oh, let's talk about Abel and let's talk about him first, and then let's talk about Enoch, and let's talk about him second. Oh, let's talk about Noah and talk about him third. No, God has put these in here in a specific order chronologically and experientially for us. So that as we examine the testimonies of these who were men and women of faith, we're going to see how we can too experience the same kind of worship, the same kind of walk, and the same kind of witness that they had. And so, again, we have to keep them in order as we study them and recognize how much they are a testimony to how we ought to be walking and living by faith. And so I hope that we will really, really enjoy getting into an in-depth study of each one of these first three. Many try to walk with God who do not know what it is to even enjoy peace with God. Hence, they try to be saved by their walk instead of saved by faith. And many try to witness for God who do not enjoy a consistent walk with God. And by all of this, it ends in the fact that works and sight are what are involved and not faith and grace. We're going to look a little more next Sunday at Romans 10:17 again. I have more that I want us to examine out of that one little verse before we actually get into, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness. And up above in verse 2, that good report, that's the same thing, witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Let's ask God to open our eyes and our minds to this wonderful truth of Hebrews chapter 11. Let's pray. Father, again, we have just been laying some foundation to our study of these elders, these patriarchs, these men and women of faith who've gone before, and we will be able to see how they had a kind of faith that saved them, a kind of faith that they could live and get through the trials and tribulations of life, and a kind of faith that laid hold of the promises that they could not see, but they had to embrace by faith. Lord, that's the kind of faith we want. That's the kind of faith we need. That's the kind of faith that pleases God. And so help us to exercise that kind of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.